Do you know what the Douglas factors are? There are 12. And they got one supervisor fired for being a little too touchy-feely with workers at the Defense Logistics Agency. A review using the Douglas factors found that his actions undermined his ability to supervise. His defense is that he used to live in Italy, where he says touchy-feely behavior is part of his culture. So what are the Douglas factors, and what did the supervisor do exactly? I'm fascinated. Bill Bransford is a partner at Shaw Bransford & Roth, joining us now with an explanation in our legal loop. This sounds positively scandalous. Please fill us in.
It is. Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. This is just an old-fashioned sexual harassment case, and I say old-fashioned because this kind of conduct used to occur with some regularity in a lot of workplaces, and many employers have conducted some pretty effective sexual harassment training, and it's really doesn't happen as much anymore. So I don't know. There's really no excuse in a lot of ways for this kind of behavior to occur. But the Douglas factors really aren't what got him fired. The Douglas factors are what might have saved him his job. Those come from a case. It's sort of like, you know, the Miranda warnings that come from a case, the name of a litigant. Mr. Douglas worked for the Department of Veterans Affairs back in the early 1980s, and the Merit Systems Protection Board decided that it had the authority to review an agency's choice of penalty in a disciplinary case. So they came up with these 12 factors and said the agency should review these 12 factors and weigh and balance them in deciding what an appropriate penalty was. And when the agency does that, the board would look at it and make sure the agency was reasonable in its conclusions. But they are all sorts of things, such as the nature and seriousness of the offense, a lack of prior discipline, performance record, how long you've been on the job, whether other employees have received the same treatment for similar behavior, notoriety, whether the agency was embarrassed by what happened, the employee's likelihood for rehabilitation, other mitigating circumstances, there are 12 of them altogether, but you see the nature of the consideration is into whether the offense was serious or petty or a problem or not such a problem, and that's the kind of evaluation that an agency is supposed to do, and the MSPB will do it if the agency does not.
I think it's an important point to make that the Douglas factors don't necessarily mean you're doomed. They could actually help you.
In our law firm, and we're representing somebody in a disciplinary case, we always do our own Douglas factor analysis, and we try to do it in a way most favorable to the employee. And then the agency looks at what we've said, and they may agree with us or not, and then make their decision.
So tell me about the history of the Douglas factors, where that comes from.
Well, the 1978 Civil Service Reform Act, which established the personnel system that we have today for federal employees, it created this adverse action authority in agencies to fire or suspend people. And it was very controversial back in the late 70s, early 80s, of whether an agency could make the decision on penalty and not have it reviewed. And so that was litigated in the 1981 decision, Douglas versus Department, or actually Douglas versus Veterans Administration. It was before VA was a department. Is the case, and they're often cited and relied upon. Pretty much any employee relations specialist is very familiar with them, and a lot of federal managers are. Any federal manager who's done a disciplinary action has at least been exposed to the Douglas factors, and hopefully they've had this concept explained to them so that they can make a good decision.
With the Douglas factors in place, and when it comes to things like sexual misconduct or sexual harassment, does that also impact somebody who might be witness to it as opposed to somebody who's actually directly involved?
Well, in this particular case, the Mr. Smiley, who was the individual who was arguing the Douglas factors, he had two witnesses, and what they argued were these other factors that determine credibility of witnesses, and the judge believed the two women who were testifying against Mr. Smiley and not Mr. Smiley. But the Douglas factors really only apply if you're the subject of an adverse action.
Okay.
Mr. Smiley's Douglas factor, he argued other mitigating circumstances, that he had lived in Italy for 10 years where people were much more touchy-feely, and that it just kind of developed this second nature habit where this is the way he acted toward other people, and that they, you know, and he was working at it, and they should excuse his behavior because he had lived in Italy. And the board, the MSPB, was just not buying it. They said, sorry, you have to have more control over yourself than that. And the other Douglas factor that he argued was that other supervisors had been guilty of sexual harassment and had not been fired, and the board, his agency, and explained this, and the board found it reasonable that the other supervisors who had been charged with sexual harassment had engaged in less serious behavior, and that Mr. Smiley had done it with more than one person. It was repeated with multiple victims, and thought it was more serious. So, you know, that was some of the analysis that took place in that particular case.
We're talking with Bill Bransford, a partner at the law firm Shaw, Bransford & Roth. And before we let you go, just the bottom line classic piece of advice for anyone who may be feeling a sense of pressure from a coworker or employer or somebody who even witnesses it. What should you do?
You mean like in a sexual harassment type case?
Yes.
That you're talking about?
Precisely.
Well, I think particularly if you're uncomfortable, if you witness something, if you experience it, you should report it. There are agencies take these very seriously. They're investigated promptly and thoroughly, and prompt serious disciplinary action occurs, which is why it's, you know, you just don't see as many of these cases as you used to. But there's still agencies are still enforcing them, and people should report them. Otherwise, the behavior is not going to stop.